Cue the fancy intro music. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and this is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom helps you end the hustle, define success on your own terms, and build a profitable, sustainable business doing more of what you love and less of what you don't. I'm so excited you're here with me today. Let's get started.
This is bonus episode number 8, the third in a series about the business hierarchy of needs as described by Mike Michalowicz in his upcoming book, Fix This Next, which releases April 28th. So you're going to start seeing a lot more promotion all over the interwebs for this fascinating book as we get closer to that date. And as a certified Fix This Next advisor, I've got advanced access to this content and permission from Mike to share these resources with you. Now, last episode, we talked about the second level of the business hierarchy of needs, which is profit. If you haven't already listened to either of the first two episodes, I encourage you to do that before you continue with this one. Just like Maslow's hierarchy of human needs, you need to resolve issues at the bottom of the hierarchy before you can ascend to the higher levels. If you've got any of the stumbling blocks inside the sales or profit levels, you really need to fix those before you start looking at the third level, which is about creating order and efficiency through systems and processes. With everything going on right now, I believe it's even more important to know where you stand on these issues. And that's why I'm offering you, as a listener of this podcast, the opportunity to sit with me at no cost and complete the entire Fix This Next assessment. If you're interested, let's just keep this simple. Shoot me an email. Let me know that you heard this episode and you want the assessment. It's that easy. info@lisarobinyoung.com. Remember, Robin has two B's. And we'll set up a time that works for both of us and get you some clarity about where to make the best use of your business resources. I don't know how long I'll keep this available, but if you know you want it, just email me and we will take it from there. We have got your back in this. So the third level of the business hierarchy of needs is order. Order, according to Mike, is the creation of efficiency. Now, efficiencies must be created at all levels, right? So at the sales level, you should be developing sales processes so that you're not reinventing the wheel every time a potential client reaches out. There are systems to ensure profitability as well. That's why we use profit first. At the order level of the business hierarchy of needs, we're shifting our focus to efficiency in all other areas of the business. But the goal isn't to just create systems for system's sake. We don't want to over-systematize. It's meant to structure the business in such a way that the founder owner or the key team members could be unavailable for up to a month and the business could still run seamlessly. In his book, Clockwork, Mike talks about Operation 4-Week Vacation. If you can have the key players in the business gone for 4 weeks on a vacation or wherever else and still have the business run smoothly, you've got all the order you need. Now, if you're just getting started in your business, or if you're a creative who has their finger on everything, Chaotix, I'm looking at you, Fusions, I'm looking at you, you may not be ready to take a 4-week vacation yet. That's fine. Make sure you've shored up the lower two levels of the business hierarchy of needs before you proceed to this level. And if you have those levels handled, then I'm curious what's holding you back from getting the help you need so that you're not the bottleneck in your business. Even Beyonce, whose business very much depends on her presence, is able to take a month off and things run smoothly. We're not saying you never come back. We're saying you can choose to step away and things are still okay. Or in light of current events, maybe you have to take time away. Can your business survive without you for a few weeks? Do you have the sales and profitability in place to financially float for a few weeks? If so, and you still can't step away, there's a need for more order, more systems or processes that make the repeatable tasks and simple decision-making easier and more consistent throughout your company. The goal of this level is to make sure that your business can essentially run itself with no contingency on any of the key leaders, owners, or partners of your company. And we don't want to be dependent on them at all if we can avoid it. And if it's still just you in your business, this still applies. I'm pretty much a business of one. I have an assistant and a few contract players that keep things rolling. And I'm not yet at a place where I feel comfortable completely walking away for a full month but I can definitely manage a couple of weeks right now without much trouble because I started developing systems years ago as I was figuring out what works for the different areas of my business. Then I trained someone to handle those systems because systems don't generally run themselves. And I've had my assistant train these systems too, so I know she knows them. And if I can't be available, she can handle it. Maybe not for a month yet, because there's still some things that only I can do, like coaching. But for a couple of weeks, she most certainly can hold down the fort and keep things running smoothly. Just like the other levels, there are 5 core needs at the order level. And this is how you know you're pretty much on lock. Here they are, and then we'll dig into each one a little deeper. Minimized wasted effort. Role alignment. Outcome delegation. Linchpin redundancy. And mastery reputation. Minimize wasted effort. Do you have an ongoing and working model to reduce bottlenecks, slowdowns, and inefficiencies? Now, this one can be challenging when you're a solopreneur because you're making all the decisions and nothing moves until it's got your approval or fingerprint on it. In the early stages of business development, that's fine. But as the business grows in complexity, and as you get more confident in how to do the work that's repetitive, it makes sense to let go of the tasks that can be delegated to someone else. And you've probably heard that a chain is only as strong as the weakest link. Bottlenecks and inefficiencies can deteriorate your company revenue and profits. And no amount of shoring up all the stuff in your business will fix this problem because the weakest link is still the weakest link. You have to shore up systems and processes so that you are not the bottleneck in the business. Now hear me on this, chaotic infusions. You can't continue to do everything by yourself indefinitely. And you can't just throw stuff at a VA and say, handle it either. You've got to have a process or a system, which is usually just a collection of processes, to make things easy to follow. Wash, rinse, repeat. That's a process. If you've got repeatable tasks like most social media, recurring marketing campaigns, and how you do your client sessions, then those things need a process document so that other people can replicate what you're doing without you having to step in and do it for them or go behind them and fix it. It takes time to develop processes for most things. The more clients you work with, the faster you'll get the hang of your workflow. Now, if you're a fusion creative, you'll probably try someone else's workflow for a while and then innovate on it until it's customized to what works for you. Linears love systems. So as soon as they find a way that works, they tend to be leery about changing it or streamlining it. But scrutinize each step. Is it something you must do or something that can be automated? I don't schedule my own appointments. I use an online scheduling tool that syncs to my personal calendar. I just give people the link. And most of the time, I don't even do that. It's sent automatically via email or my assistant does it because that's not a valuable use of my time. So it's not just about having a model. You have to make sure you use it on a regular basis and that it actually works for you. If it's not working, you have to keep tweaking it until it does work for you. I was doing a video chat with Mike back when he had a basement office. Behind him, I saw a whiteboard mounted and cut to fit the shape of the stairs, meaning it tapered from left to right as the staircase descended. On the whiteboard was a task list for each of his team members. And Mike's name was on the left, and as you can probably guess, he had more tasks under his name than any of the other team members. And when I asked him about it, he said he was still processing a lot of stuff. So I made a simple suggestion. Move his name to the short side of the board. That way, they couldn't add more tasks because his list would be full. Now, he hadn't even considered that idea. By forcing his list to be smaller, everyone had to be more thoughtful about what tasks made it to Mike's list. It also created room for other team members to take on some of those tasks, on the board at least. And I'd bet some of the things posted in Mike's list were put there just because there was room there to write it down, even if he really didn't have any bandwidth to manage it, or if some of those tasks could be better handled by someone else. Not every tweak needs to be huge. Sometimes simple tweaks make big changes possible. Number 2, role alignment. Are people's roles and responsibilities matched to their talents? Now, this example I just shared also highlights this. Make sure you're giving the right tasks to the right people. If you've got a VA with no visual design skills, don't ask them to make your social media graphics. Either that or train them so that they can do the job. And likewise, are you focused on the work that's the highest and best use of your time and skills? Or are you in the weeds, handling bookkeeping, for example? According to Mike, Most people's talents don't match up to job titles, but they match tasks. If you're really good at graphic design and art direction, for example, but you hate doing the production work for a design job, it shouldn't matter if your title is graphic designer or secretary or production designer. What should matter is that each person on the team is doing work they're wired for. If your company has job descriptions, maybe it's time to ditch them and craft role descriptions for the different activities that need to be completed in the company. Then hire for the roles, not for a job title. When you're starting out, this will be a lot more nebulous. That's part of the learning process. What roles must be done in the company and who does them now? Who's best suited to doing them in the long run? If those two answers don't match or you find you've got a role no one is doing, it may be time to hire some help. Number three, outcome delegation. Are the people closest to the problem empowered to resolve it? Meaning, do they have to keep coming back to you for final say in a matter, or do your people have the power to make a decision and assume responsibility for the outcome? In his book, Clockwork, Mike talks about how delegation isn't just assigning a task, it's assigning an outcome. If I assign my VA a task and then have to follow up with her for approval or final remarks, then I've only made a decision about who's doing the work. I still have responsibility for the outcome. On the other hand, if I give my VA complete instructions and have her demonstrate a couple of times that she knows how to execute those instructions, then I can trust her to run with those instructions and she assumes responsibility for the outcomes. If the outcome isn't what we expected, it's on her to figure out what happened and report back with a fix. She's empowered to resolve the issues on her own and then report back to me what happened and how it was fixed. And if she gets stuck, she can ask for help. But if the instructions, the system, the process are working, chances are good she'll only get stuck if something weird happens. And then we update the process doc to address the anomaly. Number four, linchpin redundancy. Is your business designed to operate unabated when key employees are not available? This is what I was talking about with the Operation 4-Week Vacation. Any critical team member, from the owner to a key employee, needs to have coverage in the business. What happens when that person leaves the company, takes a vacation, or is on lockdown at home and can't come into work? How will your business survive? The answer is found in redundancy, making sure someone else or several someone else's can cover that workload. If my VA needs time away, I can cover her tasks, or someone else on my team can pick up the slack. We also have process docs that make it simple for someone else to pick up the ball and run with it. They don't have to guess, and they don't need a ton of training. Now that said, there's still a few things that only I can do, like coaching my clients. I haven't done what Mike has done and created a certification program to enlist the help of other coaches to support my clients. I'm not sure I want to do that either, and we'll talk more about that in our next episode. But if I needed to take 4 weeks off, I'd most likely take two at the end of 1 month and two at the beginning of another so that I could still give my incubator clients their monthly coaching sessions without interruption. And as I said before, I can easily take 2 weeks off right now at just about any time. The last core area in this level of the business hierarchy of needs is mastery reputation. Not reputation mastery, but mastery reputation. Are you known for being the best in your industry at what you do? When you are the best at what you do, you've likely put in thousands, if not tens of thousands of hours, honing and perfecting your craft. You build a reputation for being good at something, and eventually you become recognized for being great at it. You've developed a reputation for excellence. What do you want to be world famous for, or at least famous in your world? What needs to happen consistently, persistently, and with a high degree of excellence to build that kind of reputation? You become well known through repetition of your message in the marketplace. You develop a reputation for excellence by delivering excellence repeatedly. I was known as a direct sales coach and trainer for years before I shifted my work to a larger audience of creative entrepreneurs. Nobody knew me in that arena, and my direct sales clients kept coming to me for a little while, but because I shifted my messaging, new direct sellers were not showing up. And because I hadn't built a reputation in the creative entrepreneur market yet, new clients were slow to show up there too. Slowly, after creating a show, generating publicity through guest posts and my own content, I started attracting a new audience. You're one of those people. And it was an audience that never knew I was a direct sales coach and trainer until I told them so. It was 3 years after I developed the Creative Freedom Entrepreneur Type Quiz before other people started asking me to be on their podcasts to talk about my work. A mastery reputation takes time to build. Now, you may wonder why this is inside the order level of the business hierarchy of needs. Well, it's really hard to replicate excellence repeatedly if you don't have the right systems and processes in place to make it easy. The more streamlined and effortless your systems and processes become, the easier you make it look to the outside world, which feeds your reputation for excellence, which builds your mastery reputation. And that's it. Those are the core areas of order and creating efficiencies on level 3 of the business hierarchy of needs. Now remember, I'm offering every listener of this podcast the opportunity to sit with me at no cost and complete the entire Fix This Next assessment. If you're interested, email info@lisarobinyoung.com. Remember that Robin has 2 B's, and let me know you heard about this on the podcast and want to sit with me to do the assessment. If you liked this episode or any of our episodes, please help us make a bigger impact in the world. Invest a few minutes of your time to subscribe, to leave a review, to share us around with your friends and colleagues, especially right now. It might not sound like a big deal, but your help spreading the word makes a big difference, especially right now. And we're still one of the fastest growing shows for creative entrepreneurs because of you. So thank you. Next time, we're going to look at the higher levels of the business hierarchy of needs and how to know when your business is ready to ascend, or if you even want to. I hope you'll return to join me. And until then, for more inspiration and education to help you end the hustle and own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to.